What's up, witches?
Hi, I'm Claudia.
And I'm Jess.
And welcome to True Crime Coven.
This feels weird. It feels like it has been a long, long time since we've done this.
It has, though. It's been at least a month.
Yeah, it's been so
weird. It's been longer than a month.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because today is the 9th of May.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was like around your birth.
No, it was before your birthday. Yeah.
Christ.
So for everyone that's listening, hopefully I would have already, put out an update episode, mini update episode.
Yeah.
Explaining why we've been off. But if you missed that, because if you're like me, sometimes it doesn't listen to mini update episodes on their podcasts. Basically, me and my partner broke up and then I turned 30 and life got a bit crazy, so we had some time off.
Yeah.
And that's just the full transparent story. Everyone's okay. No one's hurt, ill,
I mean,
anything like that.
Me and Orla were ill for a bit as well, so I couldn't even put an episode together.
Yeah,
while you took some time out. It was just a mess of a couple of weeks.
And then Simon's been on holiday, so it's just we all had to take some time out, and we appreciate you all for sticking with us throughout it.
Yeah.
But sometimes life happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're better than ever.
yeah, we're better than ever.
Centre of complete confidence.
Literally so much confidence. But yeah. But no, it's nice to be doing it again. Like, it does feel like it's been a while. It's nice to be back because, like, I don't know about you, but this is, like, I do this because I enjoy it. Like,
we don't make
any money from it. So it's actually nice to be back.
Yeah, and it's nice to have something sometimes. I'm one of those people who people go, oh, so what do you do? What's a hobby you have? And I don't run. I don't go to the gym. I don't go hiking. I don't do anything. So it's kind of nice to be able to be like, well, I have a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, I also immediately feel like a bit of a knob because it's turning like, into a bit of a trope, isn't it? Like, I have a podcast. People go, oh my God, that's so cool. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
it is, but
it
I
is.
Oh. So yeah, it's kind of it's the one thing that I would say I do for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nice that we get to do it together because obviously we are such busy people. We were just talking about how we haven't seen each other since your birthday. And even then, I came as one of your friends, but you had like a big group of friends there. And I think everyone knows what it's like when you've got a big group of friends and you actually only speak to everyone for like a small segment of the evening. But it was nice to meet some of your other friends. They're all really, really nice.
Yeah, like everyone was really nervous because they didn't know each other. And I was like, well, I'm not friends of dickheads.
Yeah, I always think that when like you're like, oh, I don't like to mix groups of friends because I'm like, what if they don't get on? And then I'm like, actually, why wouldn't they get on? Like,
I
got
so
on with all of them.
About mixing groups of friends because I'm not someone, as you know, like you've got a friendship group, but I don't have a friendship group and I never really have. I've always had like
friends.
I've always had like friends dotted about that I see individually.
Yeah.
And so I always have to mix friendship groups because otherwise it would just be me and a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So every year at my birthday, I'm like, which is why I always try and do an activity rather than a party.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
even like
it was
this year,
really
it was a
good
party,
doing
but
the,
it was a boat.
The booze cruise, like that was really good.
And it only got cold towards the end, which was good.
Yeah, it did. It was a really nice day.
Yeah, it was nice, sunny. I turned 30.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm starting to, I need to organise Aiden's 30th.
And yours?
Well, we're going to watch Fall Out Boy
on my
birthday in Manchester, so.
Well, yeah, that's fair. So you can have a Manchester getaway as well.
Yeah, no baby. And Orla's first birthday.
Yeah, you've got a lot going on in October.
Yeah, literally all within like 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah, you didn't plan your life well.
No, did not. Although it does get it all over and done with. And out
that's
way.
Why you want to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be like glass half full about this.
Yeah, fair. It does also make for a very expensive month for your whole family.
Yes, it does.
And just before Christmas, they love you.
They got a couple of months. But yeah, no, it's quite close to Christmas. But it's fine.
It's fine.
It'll be fine.
And so, considering we've been off for so long, should we give the people what they want?
Yeah, let's get straight into... Well, this week, we're going to go into Ghost Story Week. Just because...
We don't even know where we are, to be honest with you.
Yeah, can't... one, we don't know where we are. And two... I had an episode ready and Claudia didn't, so this is how it's working.
Claudia's life is still very weird at the moment.
Yeah, and I've just had that little bit more free time.
Claudia is working on an episode.
Yeah.
Don't know why Claudia's talking in third person.
I'm enjoying it.
Claudia enjoys it too.
But yeah, I'm cherishing my free time because I actually have a kit day tomorrow at work, so... keeping in touch. Yeah, so going to work, Ola's going to the childminder, aka my mum.
I was gonna say, your mum's a childminder, what do you mean? Your mum's like, you're using a rival?
No, decided we're gonna try and be like, right, we're going to Nana's house when we're going for like a family event or to like just to see my mum and dad. And then when she's going for childcare, we're going to the childminders.
Why?
Just so she doesn't expect to be treated...
Oh, differently to the other kids.
Yeah. I mean, she will. She's a baby and the rest of them are toddlers, so she will be treated differently in that sense anyway.
Yeah.
But she loves it. Anyway.
She loves her.
Are you ready for... I'm assuming we're going to do a cryptid sandwich. I mean, I have enough ghost stories to do a ghost story episode, but I think
our cryptid sandwich. Yeah, I think it's a thing.
Yeah, so I'm just going to keep going with it. So I've got two stories and
if you don't like cryptid sandwiches, well, sorry, get out.
Get out. Who doesn't like a sandwich?
I didn't as a kid, but anyway, that's another.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. I met someone the other day who doesn't like toast.
Mate, you don't like potatoes. You've got nothing you can... Like, you are... No. you cannot comment on other people's likes and dislikes.
Yeah, but toast is a weird one.
Potatoes is a weird one.
Yeah, but I admit potatoes is a weird one.
Admit toast is a weird one.
No, they didn't.
Well, then they're a weird one.
Anyway, so you probably may remember from a while ago, we had Skylar sending in some stories and she's literally keeping our podcast alive because she's got us two more stories today.
Thank you, Skylar.
So she says, "Hello again. This is another story from my time at university. As you may remember, it was built on an old army base, and this story is about my living space. The school owned the town homes that used to be farming houses for the enlisted members and their families. I lived in one of these townhouses throughout my time at university. One night, I had just gotten into bed and turned everything off. As soon as I laid down, I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and fear just engulfed me. I couldn't turn around. I was frozen with fear. After what felt like hours, I ran out of my room and into the living room where I slept the rest of the night. I later found out that three men had died around the area, and I believe one of them didn't like the fact that my upstairs neighbours were smoking pot. This encounter and being able to recognise what was upsetting them made me realise that maybe I am a medium." And that's the end of her story.
Fair play. I mean, I can definitely see how military men wouldn't like you smoking illicit substances.
Yeah.
Though I think, I suppose it depends what time they're from as well, though, to be fair, because... Obviously, back in some war days, there was drug use as just like a normal,
thing.
I'm very good at words today, but no, yeah, I can completely see how they wouldn't like rule breaking.
Yeah,
and also, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you definitely have a gift because I'm slowly realizing I have no gift.
I don't think I have a gift either.
No. So I'm a bit jealous. But yeah, no, I mean, it definitely sounds like it. If you're so in tune to all these things that keep happening, and you're able to sort of decipher what's going on and what's causing them, I would say you do.
Yeah, I think as well, like...
And cherish it and harness it, I guess.
Like, it's nice to highlight as well, like, you don't always have to see something. Sometimes just, like, feeling the presence is enough as well, like, to know that something's there. Because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I got a strange feeling, but I never saw anything. And I'm like, well, don't dismiss that.
Gut feelings are there for a reason. They keep us alive and safe.
Yeah.
And I think dismissing them can be really detrimental.
Oh, definitely. Are you ready for the cryptid?
Yeah.
The filling of our sandwich. Yeah. So I did write this the other day, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't go back through and proofread it. So bear with me as we struggle through this together.
Yeah.
So this week I decided to go not really cryptid, but kind of more historical. So have you ever heard of Vlad the Third?
Is that Vlad the Impaler?
Yeah, Vlad the Impaler.
Well then, yes.
Yes. So obviously I started trying to write it to be like, oh, and guess which famous character he inspired.
Yeah.
But it's so obvious. I was like, there's no way that I can do this without, I mean, his literal name is the name of the character he inspired.
Wait, so is Vlad the Impaler not real?
Yeah, no, he's real.
Oh.
So Vlad the Impaler is real, but his real name, well, we're getting to it, but basically he is the inspiration for Dracula.
Oh, okay.
So he was born in 1431, or so it's thought. There's obviously records from that time are a bit touch and go. So there is a lot of like, oh, this is when he might have been born, this is when he might have died, and a lot in between. But basically he was born in Transylvania, and he was the second son of Vlad Dracul, who was basically like a prince military leader in what is now modern day Romania.
Yeah.
And it's
where Karen's from.
Oh, is that where she's from?
Yeah, Karen's Romanian. My cat.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not familiar with Karen.
And it's thought that his mother was also like a princess of Moldova.
Oh, okay. Which always reminds me of the Princess Diaries.
Yeah. Always, everything can be referenced back to great childhood films like that. There is also a lot of discrepancy as to whether he had three brothers or he was one of three brothers.
Okay.
But he definitely had an older brother and a younger brother. So obviously, as I said, his dad was called Vlad Dracul, which was a name given to him by the Order of the Dragon, which he was part of, which I am umming and ahhing about whether to do an episode on the Order of the Dragon. As it's really...
I can do it.
Is really interesting, but I also don't know whether to do a Patreon episode or not, so but yeah, basically it was kind of like made for selected nobility to go against the Ottoman Empire, and it was quite Christian, I believe, basically like the Caped Crusader kind of vibe. So he was given the name Dracul, as that is the Latin word for dragon, which then gave Vlad the surname Dracula, as that means son of dragon.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So literally, like, now you understand why I was like, I literally can't do this without giving away too much. So where he, obviously he was born in Transylvania, but then he moved to now modern day Romania, but I don't know quite know how to pronounce it, but it's like, it looks like it should be pronounced Wallachia.
Yeah, but it doesn't quite sound right, does it?
Yeah, but obviously my Eastern European accent is not great, so I'm not going to offend people by trying to do
I thought
one.
You were calling your accent Eastern European then, and I was like...
Oh, God, no. No, the very opposite. So basically, it was halfway between, like... It was kind of the central part between, like, the Christian Europe and mm-hmm. the Muslim Ottoman Empire, which yeah. was kind of, like, Turkey, a bit of Southern Europe, Western Asia, and Northern Africa.
Okay.
But it started in Turkey in 1299. So very, very old. And they didn't have emperors, they had sultans.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So basically, what's known about Vlad is that he was the ruler of Romania three times. So I've tried... There's a lot, as I said, there's a lot of discrepancies in his timeline. So I've tried to make it as chronological as I can.
Yeah.
But obviously...
You can only do what you can.
Yeah. So in 1435, he moved to, we think, pronounced Wallachia. That's why I'm going to pronounce it. But please, if you know how to pronounce it properly, let me know. because his father was the prince military ruler there at the time.
Yeah.
Wallachia was supposed to be kind of like a neutral zone in between the war between the Christians and the Muslims. But the Ottoman Empire would quite often try and win his father over. And obviously it was quite hard to oppose an entire empire.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the noble men at the time, even though Vlad's father was the ruler, a lot of the noblemen supported the Ottoman Empire, so it was kind of like, I've kind of got to do that, or I'm going to start like a civil war in my own country.
Yeah, you've got to kind of appease people, haven't you, sometimes?
Yeah. So in 1442, Vlad, his father, and his two brothers were called to a diplomatic meeting in the court of the Ottoman Sultan at the time. However, this was actually a trap, and they were held hostage. After a year, his father and his older brother were released back home, but the empire kept Vlad and his younger brother, Radu, as insurance that his dad would follow the Ottoman policies. Okay. So they were held for 5 years by the Ottoman Empire, where they were trained as like warriors and assassins and basically killing machines.
Mm.
And in 1448, they returned to Wallachia after Vlad's father and brother were assassinated by the noblemen because they both betrayed the Ottoman Empire. Yeah, and it's thought Vlad's brother was blinded and buried alive.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
what way to go.
I know. So, yeah, Vlad and his brother got returned back because they were like, oh, yeah, we'll be loyal to the Ottoman Empire. Please don't assassinate us, which, fair enough.
I'd do it too, to be honest.
I know, even if it was a bold-faced lie, you'd say it. So that's when Vlad just started his campaign for his father's seat, and he was successful straight away. So he's quite young at this point. I think he was, like, still in his teens.
But then I feel like back then being in your teens was a lot older than it is now.
Yeah, and also his father had the seat, so, and his oldest brother died, so he was like next in line for it.
Yeah.
Like, and although it was like an elected position,
he kind of seemed the most suitable.
Yeah. Anyway, this didn't actually last very long, and he was gone after 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then he went missing for 8 years, and no one really knows what happened in these 8 years.
He never spoke about it?
There was just no records of it, so I assume because he wasn't, like, in the spotlight for nobility, people were just like, well, we don't need to document what he did, do we? Kind of thing. However, it's thought that in this 8 years is when he decided to betray the Ottoman Empire and switch to the other side, but he did it kind of like secretly.
Yeah.
So he came back after 8 years and won the seat again.
Okay.
And I couldn't work out how long he ruled for, but it was definitely a lot longer, like a good few years. And then in 1476 he was re-elected again.
Okay.
So that was the start of his third one. But his last ruling was also short, as that is the year that he died.
Oh, okay.
And he actually had quite a gruesome death. As one day, him and his soldiers were out patrolling when he was ambushed and beheaded. Oh. And it's thought that because he had so many enemies over the years, they took his head as a trophy. But it wasn't, again, it didn't really say who killed him. So obviously, he had quite a few reasons to betray the Ottoman Empire. Like, they imprisoned him, killed his father and his older brother.
I thought it was a nobleman, but then I realised that they were part of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah. And then as well, to make matters worse, his youngest brother remained loyal to the empire and became known as Radu the Handsome. And it was also thought that he had an intimate relationship with the ruling sultan at the time. Okay. Which, obviously, nowadays we're like, yeah, whatever. But obviously back then, it really enraged Vlad. And I think as well, at the time, him and his brother were going against each other for this seat.
Okay.
And then he found out that his brother was like sleeping with the sultan.
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah, safe to say that he kind of hated the empire after all of that. So he decided that when he came back for his longer rule, the best thing to do was rule with fear. So yeah, after all of that has happened to him, you might feel like a little bit sorry for Vlad. You think his dad's dead, brother's dead.
Other brother's a bit of a traitor.
Yeah. So, as you said earlier, rightly so, he did earn himself the nickname Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad.
You
Vlad said Vlad.
Did I?
Yeah.
The nickname Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler. Vlad. 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 He earned himself the nickname Vlad the Impaler. So yeah, don't go feeling too sorry for him yet, because he did some horrible things in his time. And are you ready to hear them? This is why we're here, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing he did some impaling.
Oh, he did. He did some impaling.
Some impaling.
So, in 1456, which is the year he returned from being missing, there was one main threat to him to regaining power. And I looked at the name of this man and it was really long and Romanian. And I was like, I'm not going to pronounce that. But he had a main rival that wasn't his brother. And this man was also a supporter of the Ottoman Empire, who was at war with the Hungarians. So Vlad joined the Hungarians and led an army where he beheaded his rival in a one-on-one combat. However, I don't think he stayed allies with the Hungarians for very long. I think it was literally just to kill this person and then get on with it. Only because a few years later, the Hungarians did imprison him for something. But again, it was all very shady on what that was. So, you know, he was kind of just like, I'm going to rule my country and I don't care about your wars. Come at me and I will kill you, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Which... So apparently in this battle as well, he left the field of defeated Ottoman soldiers impaled into the ground to warn off the rest of the Ottoman Empire from invading. And for anyone who is still a bit unsure about what impaling is, it is where a wooden or a metal pole is inserted through the body, either front to back or vertically, and then stuck into the ground. If it was inserted vertically, it would normally enter through the rectum or vagina and exit through the neck, shoulders or mouth. And nice. Vlad's particular preferred method was using a rounded pole so that it was less likely to cause any internal injury to internal organs, which obviously then prolonged their suffering. And it could take days for some of these victims to die.
Yeah. I mean, especially because if you've got it still in you, any bleeding it has caused, it's almost stopping.
Slow. Yeah.
You know, it's like if someone gets impaled, if you're driving a car and you get impaled in like with a bit of fence or something like that, like
you're not supposed to remove it, are you?
Yeah, like the fire brigade might like trim it so that they can bring you in easier, but they won't remove it because you don't know what you're disturbing, what you're making worse, what vessels it's gone through.
Yeah, they would have either slowly bled to death or, like, some of the... It's a days for some of these victims to die, so they could have starved to death just as easily.
Like the elements.
Yeah, yeah, because they would have all been outside. Like, but can you imagine just a couple of days just being impaled and just left?
Mate, I can't imagine 20 minutes, to be honest.
Oh, no, horrible, isn't it? And it wasn't just on the battlefield that Vlad enjoyed impaling people. So when he regained his power... he obviously had to show the nobleman who was in charge.
Yeah.
So to deal with them squabbling, he decided to invite them and their families to a banquet. On arrival, he stabbed and impaled the women, children and elders of the noblemen, not the noblemen themselves, and he let them bleed out slowly.
That sounds a bit unnecessary, really, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I know. He captured the noblemen and forced them into hard labour, where they built, I think it's pronounced Penary Castle.
Okay.
So they were forced to build that. And I mean, I think if you Google it, it's Poenari, is literally on top of a mountain. And it still stands today. You can go visit it.
So they built it well, at least.
Oh, God, yeah. But he didn't let them have breaks and he made them work till they died of exhaustion. But this was Vlad's favourite castle as it was very strategically positioned, which made it almost impossible to siege and conquer.
Yeah, and you can see what's coming for miles, I guess.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, you've got to hike up a mountain to get to it. It also looks like Dracula's castle.
Okay.
As well, like, if you look at it, you're like, oh, that looks like Dracula's castle. Yeah.
I'll put a picture up, so.
Yeah.
Everyone can see.
Yeah. So he also impaled 12 Saxon merchants who were allied with these noblemen. Sorry, she's just singing.
As you do.
Yeah. So, yeah, impaled a lot of people. And if you didn't think that the impaling was brutal enough, here are some other things that he did as well. So he had a zero tolerance to crime, which sounds good, but instead of putting the noblemen in these public positions to enforce his power, he decided to use commoners and foreigners, which again doesn't sound too bad, but he did it for the wrong reasons. So he did it so that these people would be completely dependent on him for work and money and, like, food and things. And if any of them stepped out of line, he would just execute them because he didn't think of them as people.
Yeah.
They were just people, well...
It sounds like he didn't think of anyone as people, really.
No. So he did it to... Because they had no power, because they weren't noblemen.
Yeah.
He could easily dispose of them and get another one in because there were loads of them. And they were completely dependent on him. He didn't think of them as humans. He just treated them like workforce. Basically slavery.
Yeah.
And
I was
he
about
also...
to say modern day slavery, but this isn't...
But yeah, it was like that, yeah. So, the other thing that he had a zero tolerance for was homeless people.
Oh.
He thought of them as, like, unworthy and an issue and thought that they were, like, criminals just for being homeless.
Which is mad because it's, like, give them a home and he might think differently.
Yeah.
Well, probably not really, but yeah.
But he decided to invite them all to a feast, obviously luring them in with food and the promise of a roof over them, over their head. And then once they were inside, he locked them into the hall and set it on fire and burnt them all alive. Yeah. So, another thing he did, this guy just gets better and better. Had a meeting with some diplomatic envoys who declined to remove their hats for religious reasons. Doesn't say what religion it was, but they were like, no, we can't remove these. So, he didn't believe in their religion and said it was rude for them to not remove their hats. And then when they again declined, he decided that if they weren't going to remove their hats for him, they weren't allowed to ever remove their hats again, so he nailed their hats to their head.
Okay.
Mm. And another thing that was rumoured, but very much unconfirmed, I wonder if this rumour came about after he was the inspiration for Dracula, but basically it's thought that he used to dip his bread in the blood of his victims.
I can't imagine that tastes nice.
No. But then also...
But they probably didn't have oil and balsamic vinegar, so...
Yeah, what do you have to compare it to? Do you know what I mean? You know,
like parsnip is what I would go for, but if it's that or nothing,
if it's
maybe.
Not available, yeah, maybe their butter was a bit shit. So yeah, like you can see how he would have inspired Dracula, one, his name, and two, him being quite gruesome.
Yeah.
But it's also estimated that he killed around 80,000 people, including impaling 20,000 people. And that's just what they had on record.
Yeah. I mean, that must have been a rough estimate, because how do you have a record of homeless people?
Yeah, exactly. And
we don't even have records of homeless people now.
There's a whole 8 years where he wasn't in power. Yeah. And all right, yes, he wouldn't have been able to as easily kill and impale thousands and thousands of people like he did,
yeah,
without the army. But he was also a skilled warrior. Like, a lot of these people, like, he probably would and could have easily killed himself.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like he was a little man with loads of power. Like, he was a warrior himself.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he could do his own dirty work.
Yeah. And, like, in those 8 years, who used to say he didn't kill loads.
Anyone who he didn't want to live.
Yeah. A lot of his impaled victims as well were impaled outside the city walls just to, like, ward off people. And apparently it was so
disgusting.
Oh, God, yeah. But it worked for the Ottoman Empire. Like, invaders turned around because apparently the decomposing bodies were so disgusting and smelt so horrific. And obviously you think they're being torn apart by birds and wildlife.
Yeah.
It's just, it would have been disgusting.
Yeah. I can't imagine it smelled great.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's all the horrible things about his life. There isn't actually much on record about anything else apart from all the disgusting things he did.
Kind of overshadows everything else, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was a really nice dad or something, but I don't think you care so much about that.
It's funny you should say that, because apparently he was married, we think, 3 times.
He likes threes.
Yeah. Unknown how many children he had, but there was a lady called Katharina Siegel? Probably pronounced differently, who he never married but was apparently like his one true love, but couldn't marry her because she wasn't like of the same status as he was.
Okay. I wonder why he saw her as a person then.
Yeah. But she was more of like a mistress for him.
Yeah.
But he had 5 children with her, and apparently in his will he left these 5 children like quite a bit of money. Okay. So apart from being horrible
person.
Yeah, apparently he was quite nice to his children, so you know.
Well, we've all got something nice about us, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make me like him as a person.
It doesn't really outweigh the 80,000 deaths.
Yeah,
murders.
But nice to know he was nice to his own children. So yeah, that's everything I have on Vlad the Impaler, aka Dracula.
Little history lesson there.
Yeah, it was nice to do something a bit different, a bit gory.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that.
So we've just got our ghost bread now, haven't we?
We do have the ghost bread, and again,
which we are not dipping in blood.
Oh, God, no. Ooh, no, balsamic vinegar, please. So, again, we're going back to Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar.
The most recent and most uncomfortable encounter I had was about a month back. I had started smelling cigarette smoke and it lasted about 2 weeks. I know that smelling smoke like that can be linked to medical problems, so I thought it was safest to get myself checked out. Turns out I was completely fine and the doctors couldn't find any conditions that would alter my smell. I was talking to a friend of mine and she suggested I try meditation to see if I could connect with the spirit and see what's going on, set boundaries and things like that. While I was in my meditation, I saw this man. He was no more than 35 years old and he was crying with his head in his hands and repeating, "I just want to go home." I got so angry at him and yelled, "So just go home then." Then, all of a sudden, he was gone and I was jolted from my meditation. The last experience I have is with a friendly spirit. For work, I have to drive past lots of cemeteries. Well, one day, a spirit decided to come along with me. His name is Harold and he enjoys the drive. It's nice to have company when I'm out driving, so I'm not by myself all day. I hope you've liked the stories. I'll have to send you more as I remember them. Thanks so much, Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar. Thank you, Skylar.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear more stories. We have enjoyed them.
They've been really good ones as well, because they've all been quite different as well.
Yeah, they're all very different. I like the sound of Harold.
Yeah. Like, I quite like the... because it's kind of like a phantom hitchhiker scenario, yeah, isn't it? Like, he's just got into her car and been like, you know what? I want to come for a drive around.
Yeah, and I've always got a special place in my heart for people called Harold, because I looked after a lovely man called Harold when I was a carer.
Aw. I think if it's a friendly spirit as well, like...
why
don't
not?
Mind. We'd all love a Casper. So much. Yeah. Love a little friendly ghost.
I will say, to be fair, people talk about different medical conditions where you can smell things, but I don't know how true it is. I mean, obviously you can have altered smells with, you know, if you've got, for example, like a brain tumour, not to get really dark here, Obviously that can alter your smell because it's depending on where it is.
Yeah.
But apparently the whole, like, smelling burnt toast isn't really indicative of a stroke or anything. Like, it's not as common as people think. So whilst I really think it's always a good idea to get things checked out by doctors, you know, rather than... it's much better to be safe than sorry and not just write them off as paranormal. I would say I don't think anyone... I've never but personally heard of, which does not mean it can't happen because I've only been a nurse 4 years. never personally heard of anyone suffering. Like, no one's ever come into me and been like, "I can smell blah blah blah."
Oh, really? I wonder if that's something that you'd go more to your GP for.
Yeah, but then people do come in and see us about things that we would prefer they go to their GP for.
not to dig, but yeah, no idea.
So yeah, and yeah, by all means, I'm sure there are a plethora of medical conditions that can alter your sense of smell. And we all know COVID can, for example, so it's not like it's out of the realms of possibility. But I also think cigarette smoke is probably not one of the ones.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just doesn't strike me as it.
I think as well, like you said, you'd either lose your sense of smell or get heightened. Like, because obviously in pregnancy, some people get a heightened sense of smell.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you'd just, like, smell things that aren't there.
Yeah.
So much. Especially something distinctive as cigarette smoke.
Yeah, something everyone's familiar with.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much, Skylar. I've really enjoyed your story. Yeah. And we'd love to hear more.
Yeah. Like, and that doesn't just go to Skylar. That's anyone who has already emailed us with the story. And you're like, "Oh, I've got loads more." Like, send them in.
Yes, I'm him.
I might start emailing people back and harassing them and be like, "Please send us more."
we'll get cancelled, Jess.
I know. Well, if you don't want to get harassed by me via email, I'm joking, I won't actually. But I might just send a few back saying, "Thank you for your story. We used it. If you have any more, let us know." Yeah. Not full harassment.
Not
yet.
Full harassment, just partial harassment.
Yeah, not like I harass my friends with stories. It's fine.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with us throughout the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, I was off for a bit before that. So thank you everyone for sticking with me then. My mum is recovering well from her surgery. So yeah, it's all gone quite well.
Yeah, we'll try and be more consistent.
Yeah, we're going to try and be more consistent. We've got some plans in how we can be more consistent.
But we are only human.
We all appreciate that we all have full-time jobs and life sometimes gets in the way.
Yeah.
And I guess other than that, there's not much else to say other than stay safe and
stay spooky.
Hey guys, if you have a ghost story or a case suggestion, please email us truecrimecovenpod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @truecrimecoven or on Instagram and Facebook where we are @truecrimecovenpod.
Also, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could rate us wherever you're listening to this right now, be it Spotify, Apple Music, or if you're on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, click that bell, get notifications every time we post.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from.
Make these two witches smile.
Thanks, witches. Sorry, Simon.